Hello, my name is Jeff Green. You're about to listen to an hour of words and music with John Anderson, produced on the occasion of the release of and featuring material from the latest from John and Vangelis, Page of Life. You'll also hear music from throughout John Anderson's long and varied career as solo artist and in collaboration with Vangelis, members of Yes, and other groups. And you'll listen to John Anderson himself talking about his music, his philosophy, his career, and his limitless hopes for the future in an interview conducted by myself just hours before his last Ottawa appearance with Bruford, Wakeman, and Howe at the 1989 X Grandstand. Specific song selections will not be credited during the body of this program, but a full listing in order of their performance will be given at the end of the show. John Anderson is an inspirational force of positivism through his art. It is nothing but appropriate that he is most closely associated in the popular mind with the single word, yes.
I think about traveling around is so much diversity of energy, yet everything has sort of got this sort of order about it, and it's one of the things that I believe in quite honestly, that we're heading towards a more organized time in the next few years. And if it can be spoke about in a musical term, the music that's going to come in the next 4 or 5 years is going to revolutionize our whole perception of music into the 21st century. I can't see us just going along hoping that the next pop song will last another couple of days, you know.
Is something that I've seen building in the lyrics throughout your career, and that's never been stated overtly, that's never been made clear, but is now becoming very much part of a common growing mythology.
Well, it's a firm belief in the Golden Age, which is something that...
More than that, a belief that the Golden Age is within our lifetime.
Yes, oh yeah. Mm-hmm. And that we're sort of heading towards a more... aware time, and it's our destiny in this lifetime to understand where we've been and where we're coming from. If you think about what you taught at school, you taught half the history of the world. Only half.
Not less.
Well, maybe a lot less. And you believe that to be the whole. So as you grow up and you grow older and more mature, you start to go on little adventures and sort of try and find out what is the meaning. Not the meaning to life, but the, you know, what's going on around us, or else you finish up very screwed up as to what religion really means and what famine really means and what's going on around us as a world unity factor. Is it always going to be so bizarre? Are we just heading towards chaos and nuclear wars? When I see children and my kids and people generally, everything seems to be getting more in order as time goes by. And so I sense that things that I believe will come through are coming through. It's going to lead us into the 21st century. And if that's a belief in humanity, that's basically what it is. And I think it's all to do with my understanding of music and what music really is. Music is a spiritual energy force, and it's a biological force. It has something to do with our heartstrings and our psychological awareness of who and what we are. So when we're sort of a little bit strained in the day, and you put on some Chopin or Mozart from the classic times, it just soothes you and calms you down. It's because of the harmonics in that music, not so much the guy that did it, it's the musical harmonics and how it was structured that make you calm down. So if there's a healing force within music, then songs the Beatles did, the All You Need Is Love, was a healing force around a time where we really didn't have any wars on a major scale, and they really helped to justify growing up into a new sort of world. That's why we had this incredible situation with the peace man and all that kind of thing, where young people of that time were trying to discover a new way of looking at life, because they were totally disillusioned with their folks, the politics of the time, the warlike attitudes of the time, as still they are now. You know, the rock and roll changed a lot of people's attitudes to what was going on around them. Here was free speech put into musical form, which had never really been done that heavily before. Music had always been like jazz and jive and bebop and rebop and big band stuff. And it was all sort of just entertainment.
You wouldn't say that the music you were doing even back then was specifically oriented towards that kind of social comment. Even then there was something more.
Well, we were
spiritual.
Moving on to another sort of idiom of musical expression. You know, as soon as I got into understanding the way that music worked, you know, I started making music when I was about 25. Up until then, I'd just been a singer in a band. And then when I was about 28, I started to really discover that I could actually play keyboards and piano and structure. I listened to Sibelius and Stravinsky, which is all pretty well documented for people who are interested. But I've already gone through that period of time where I was really discovering there was an amazing amount of musical variety around. And the game that I was in, which is basically rock and roll, could be expanded a little bit if you brought in the right musicians at the right time and worked with them and got the best out of them artistically. They would show you different ways of musically structuring pieces of music that would last as long as it takes for them to expand and express themselves. Then, what do you sing about? You couldn't just sing about I love her, she loves me, and she's gone and I don't like her anymore, and she loves me again and everything's going to be okay, because that's more like pop songs are all based on that. So I was searching for more of self-realization.
Was that path to the path you're on now? Are you still
exactly
on
the same? Okay. Exactly the same. It's like Close to the Edge was Siddhartha, Hermann Hesse, as was Topographic Oceans, a wandering in a way into the world of Paramahansa Yogananda, who I still understand and I still breathe and think about every day, because he in a way was a sort of guiding light for my re-understanding of what God really is, which is universal consciousness, universal light, and so on. And the guy that turned me on to that was a guy who worked with Bill Bruford in King Crimson, a drummer called Jamie Muir, who was quite a remarkable character. And through working with and meeting certain musicians over the years, it sort of elevated my perception of who I could be and what I could become in my lifetime. So all I'm really doing is I'm on this adventure of discovering my potential as an artist, as a singer, as a lyricist, storyteller, or whatever, and also a family man. And I love my family, my wife and my children, and watching them grow up, and they teach me all the time. So it's an ever opening situation.
You're listening to a special with the words and music of John Anderson and Friends, featuring the latest from John and Vangelis, Page of Life. We'll be back after this. One of John Anderson's most remarkable achievements was the 1976 album Olias of Sunhillo, for which he composed and played all parts. The concept was a science fantasy scenario about a planet threatened with extinction, whose four tribes emigrate on a vast organic space vessel. Each tribe resonates to its own rhythms and melodies. Music is the magic that drives them through life and space.
You know, the ancient stories that I found out actually just last year, the rainbow people prophesied a certain event was going to happen, which was the harmonic convergence, many, many years ago. Maybe 200 or 300 years ago, the prophecy was coming through. It was a Mayan calendar aspect of the nature of things to come to this planet, an awareness of spiritual guidance through Christ consciousness. And this was very, very evident in my stay in Los Angeles, where I was rediscovering my sort of adventure that I was on to discover what I felt about. It's very hard to explain this one, but I wanted to discover the Indian people because they are a beautiful people. And the Aborigine people, they believe, the Aborigines in Australia believe that the world was put together through music, musical waves.
Newborn land, dreaming by the sky, the scent of colors in the flowers. Believe it's small in many ways. It holds the key that defies the superpowers. Well, we know that we are lonely. This ain't we
they had this thing about everything was a musical force that started the world 40, 50,000 years ago or whatever. One never knows exactly when it started. So music was a definite adventure in the growth of this planet. So when I did Elias, it was based on ancient knowledge. And the four tribes were very simply Negro, Asian, Oriental, Nordic. And basically, the Rainbow People said that really happened, that four tribes did come from another planet and spread the word on this planet Earth. That's what they say. And it freaked me out because it was about a year ago. And I figured out, hey, well, it wasn't all that wrong.
Musicians, when they begin really exploring the music of the world, they suddenly find they resonate to a certain group or area, like Gabriel with African rhythms, for example, something like that.
Yeah.
You seem almost alien somehow, like non-terrestrial in your musical sources.
The first thing that I got into was gamelan music, and that was 1970. And at the same time, I just went out and bought 20 albums of anything ethnic. And I really realized that I couldn't play ethnic music because it was already being played. It's like trying to make the Yes group do reggae, you know. You couldn't do it. And the Police came along and did it exactly right, you see.
You understand? You did that one song on the new album with...
That was just a bit of fun because we were in Paris and we had a few rums that night. And we just heard an album by a band called Kassav, which is a great band, and they're very hot in Paris. And it was like Latin American, let's do a Latin American song, and I just had a couple, so I stuck them together. That was a bit of fun for the album.
Johnny Dreadpool, right?
Yeah, that was my pseudo name on tour. Bobby Dread, actually. Bobby Dread, yeah. I lived in Jamaica quite a lot. My wife's Trinidad background, her father's Trinidad, her mother's Spanish. So we live in the Caribbean. And so I relate to that whole culture totally. I love it very, very much. And I think that spurs me on to, I think, try to figure out where everybody stands, you know, from culturally. I don't think anybody is lesser or higher than anybody else. And the problem with, I think, the white man over the years has been that he thought he was real cool. And he wasn't so cool. He was just another version of a way of living on this planet. And he's pushed his energy on other people to the point that now it's sort of backfiring on him. And he's got to realize that all people on the planet are brothers and sisters. And I think that's what I've been trying to say musically from the early days. Just hear the voice in all the songs of the earth. Nothing can come between us. You're a brother of mine. We hold our hands together, be the sunshine. Nothing can come between us. You're a sister of time. Just hear the voice in all the songs of the earth. Nothing can come between us. Nothing can come between us. One of the things that I realize now is that every song that has been sort of very focal point in the media has had an eagle emblem. Roundabout, same, the middle of Roundabout is about an eagle flying. The eagle's wings. Of a Lonely Heart, there's the eagle there again. Brother of mine, watching me fly like an eagle. Interesting that the eagle is a very pointed thing subconsciously in my perception of what I've been doing, because I remember just 5 years ago I was very fortunate to meet a medicine man in America, and he came after the show and he dusted me down with eagle feathers. And then when I went to live in Los Angeles, I was very fortunate to meet with a Dakota Sioux Indian chief, and they accepted me into their way of thinking. And I prayed with them and sang with them and became a brother. And they let me hold eagle feathers. And when I was praying, it was like a rebirth in my perception of who I am and what I'm doing musically. And it just drives me on to do more and more things. The American Indian told me one thing. He said, you know, we don't need your help. I think it might just be the other way around. And I quite believe him, you know?
We'll return with more John Anderson after this. The group Yes has had a complex and shifting history of membership. Founding member John Anderson has been in almost every incarnation of the band. However, at the time of this interview, a group featuring Chris Squire and Trevor Rabin, based in Los Angeles, was using the name Yes, so that Anderson, Bruford, Wakeman, and Howe, all long-standing members, were forced to tour under their own names. But not long thereafter, John Anderson acted as peacemaker between these warring factions, and the result was an 8-member supergroup that included almost every musician that had ever performed in the band. The album and tour that came from this great union of talents was called Union.
I was just talking with Rick and saying that we're still going to get criticized for who and what we are, but we're still going to be adventurous in our music, and we're still going to keep making good music because I think we believe in who we are and the talent that we have. And as simple as that, really.
Is there a problem in that the other members of the band aren't quite as finely tuned to the vision that you have?
That was the problem, I think, with the Yes in Los Angeles. They tended to think I was a little bit of a crazy, or a little bit loopy. You know, it's just one of those things. I never thought about it until a certain point in time, and then I realized, of course, they don't think the way I'm thinking, so maybe I shouldn't be with them. Because if they're not thinking the way I'm thinking, then I'm a burden to them. And I felt that I was, and I felt that I should move on. It's very simple. And I have great friendship with Vangelis, and he talks to me straight. And he has a very clear, identifiable attitude about his music. And he said, John, you got to move. And if you feel like you want to move, you just got to move. And I said, I think I've got to move. And he said, well, in whatever turns you want, go for it.
He was giving his way.
interesting that a month ago two Indians came from Central America to see him. They went to see the Dalai Lama in Rome, but they knew Vangelis was around, so they went to see him, and they dusted him down with feathers. And we've just done a new album, and it's a very, very spiritual album. I don't know why, it's just the way it is at the moment. We're making that kind of music. It's touching a few people, and if a few people understand us, that we're coming from a very open and very honest senses, I don't know how to explain it, then they'll enjoy what it is. It's a very honest expression of who we are and what we're doing at this moment in time.
Anyone can light a candle, but not the way that you do. Anyone can light a candle, just like a
That doesn't mean to say that, you know, the next projects that I want to do might be a lot more diverse now that I think I've reached a certain high in, I don't know, clarifying a few things in my mind. All that I do, clarify my mind and put it down into a song. I'm not going out there to write a song for somebody else, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to do it for my own perception of who and what it is.
And yet, except in the case of Elias, you always have to work with other musicians.
Yeah, I'd like to actually work again on my own, but that's going to take a little bit more time, because I know...
Was that a laborious project, Elias?
It drove me crazy, of course, and then I came out the other end and I felt great that I had actually achieved something totally by myself. I've just finished the musical, and I've got another one that I'm halfway through as well. So my whole perception of what I will do by myself is probably in about 3 or 4 years' time. I'm actually learning all the time to be more structurally symphonic and organic at the same time musically. And I'm doing a lot of musical ideas that will surface in the next 10 years. So I'm very conscious that there is a growing period that I'm going through. I'm probably halfway through my career now.
What's your time frame prognosis for the golden age?
Well, everybody says it's the next 10, 15 years. So that's the way it is, God willing, he says. Actually, yeah, let's perceive it properly. It's only a raising of perception. It's just a changing of our attitudes that surround us. We're not all going to turn into golden people. It'll just change that things will get a lot easier around the planet. We will learn to look after each other on the planet. We will learn to look after the actual Mother Earth itself a lot better. We will actually, it'll take a lot of strain, like a rebirth. There'll be a lot of pain towards that coming event where we will be a bit clearer as to our destiny. And our obvious destiny is to travel the universe. It's a logical thing. The voyage is just going around Neptune now. We are meant to travel the universe. It is our destiny, and we have to get ready for it. And that means unity on this planet before we can actually move.
Oh,
Liam O'Flaherty, who's a beautiful Irish writer, and Graham Greene, for some reason, and some American short stories. I like short stories because, you know, travelling a lot, it's good just to hang in there with a quick short story. I'm not... I'm more interested in the writing technique now. I'm trying to actually become a bit more of a writer.
Short stories! The day the circus of Evan came into town, local folk lined the streets in a midwestern town, waiting anxiously for the parade to begin all around on the very last day. A unicorn headed the mystical way, surrounded by what seemed a thousand golden angels at play. Behind were centaurs housed by fairies holding collars of jade on the very final day. Seven golden chariots in tow, a wonder to behold, the seven lords of the mountains of time. The Daedalus, where nothing really stood there before, a giant ten rising 1,000 feet high from the floor. As people flocked inside with their eyes all amazed to greet the seventh lord of the seven age. A fanfare rang out in an incredible sounds, bringing out the strangest visions in perfect harmony.
Especially around the Tormato era, you were really trying for short stories in some of the songs.
Yeah, I think that the next step will have to go that way. I can't obviously keep banging on people's head this sort of
the new age
light and stuff. No, I think I've just about done it. The Jonathan Vangelis album will be the pinnacle of that kind of.
Can there ever be too much for that? I guess.
Not really, but. I feel especially
when you're in the marketplace, you're up against satanic bands, and I mean, it seems like
ongoing. Yeah, I've heard about that. I can't believe it, to be very honest, but it did affect a friend of mine. He's a mayor of a small town in America, and he had 3 suicides because of a couple of bands, Metallica and stuff, and he couldn't believe that it happened, and it really did happen. So he was talking to me last month, and I was saying, well, it's got to change, and it will.
Only such fools, only such jealous hearts, only through love changes come. Change, changing places, reach yourself to the ground. Capitalize on this good fortune. We see how wonderful releasing it is.
Do-la-la, do-la-la.
We will cross the great divide that spellbinds us to one degree. This further dimension it is.
Love is the perfect place.
You've been listening to a special on John Anderson, featuring an interview conducted in Ottawa in 1989, and music from the latest John and Vangelis release, Page of Life. Here are the specific selections you heard in the order they were sampled. In Part 1, Long Distance Runaround and the Fish from Fragile by Yes, Money from Page of Life by John and Vangelis, Horizon from Private Collection by John and Vangelis, Shine for Me and Genevieve from Page of Life, Yours is No Disgrace from the Yes album, Gates of Delirium from Relayer by Yes, Close to the Edge by Yes, and Garden of the Senses from Page of Life. In Part 2, Ocean Song and Neon from Olias of Sunhillo, Birthright from Anderson, Bruford, Wakeman and Howe, Flight of the Moorglade from Olias of Sunhillo, a selection of gamelan music from Bali called Gamelan of the Love God, Teakbois and Brother of Mine by Anderson, Bruford, Wakeman and Howe, The Journey from Requiem for the Americas by Jonathan Elias, and Far, Far Cry from that same release. In Part 3, from the album Union, we heard I Would Have Waited Forever, Holding On, Lift Me Up, and Angkor Wat. Be a Good Friend of Mine and Anyone Can Light a Candle from Page of Life, Chords from Olias of Sunhillo, Horizon from Private Collection, Starship Trooper by Yes, Curious Electric by John and Vangelis from Short Stories, The Circus of Heaven from Tormato by Yes, Changes by Yes from 90125, and Wisdom Chain from Page of Life. Right now, you're listening to Little Guitar from that same album. This special was produced in the studios of Shea 106 by myself, Jeff Green.
Stranger Media.
To find out more about the works of Jeff Green, go to strangermedia.com.